Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Shlomo Ben Sara, Malka Bat Simcha, Helen Friedman, Dorit Bat Sara, Shifra Bat Sara, and Dennis Shore, and to elevating the souls of Simcha Bat Rachel, Pesach Se Ben Chava, Harav Meir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Barry Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mittman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. We have two subjects we want to discuss on this week's program. The first is, why is Elizabeth Warren so dangerous? She's the new frontrunner for the Democrat presidential nomination. The news media is promoting her. And we already predicted before she became the frontrunner, when she was in third place in the polls, we predicted that she would be the Democrat nominee. I went out on a limb and said that I thought she would be the nominee despite all the uncertainty that we see in American politics today. I thought that she was the candidate that the media was setting up to promote. And surely enough, now she's taken the lead in the polls and she seems to be the favorite candidate. We'll see how she's able to weather the attacks that are going to come her way in debates, and because she's a target when she's the front runner. The other candidates running for the nomination are going to want to try to tear her down so they could get the nomination. So we'll see how well she can survive all of that, but right now she appears to be the front runner, and she is very, very dangerous, and we're going to explain why she's so dangerous. And the second subject is Donald Trump. Yes, as we've said a million times, he's a lesser of the evils, but the lesser of the evils is still evil. He's still a terror. He is not a good president and not a good leader at all. We're going to support him because the alternative, Elizabeth Warren and the other communist Democrats running, are much worse. But still, he is a bad leader, and it's very unfortunate. We saw with his latest move with Turkey's dictator, why he is also a dangerous leader. Let's start off with that subject with Donald Trump. Donald Trump had a conversation with the dictator of Turkey, the Muslim dictator of Turkey, who is a mass murderer, a gangster, a drug dealer, whose government and whose regime spreads drugs all over the world and mass murder and terrorism, and is responsible for slaughtering huge numbers of people. And Donald Trump had a conversation with this genocidal, totalitarian beast. And it was a wonderful, friendly conversation, as Trump often has with dictators and mass murderers. Whether it's the Kim, the North Korean Hitler, who murdered 2 million of his own people and starves his own people to death, or whether it's with Putin in Russia or the Chinese dictator. He gets along very well with dictators. He likes them better than he likes other leaders. They're his favorite leaders. And when he spoke to this Turkish Muslim dictator and mass murderer, he decided pretty much on the spur of the moment, without telling any of his aides or anybody in the military and anybody in the State Department, in the Pentagon, anybody. He just suddenly on the spur of the moment decided, while he was speaking to the Turkish dictator, that he's going to pull U.S. troops out of northern Syria and enable Turkey to invade northern Syria and slaughter the Kurds. Now, I'm not one who believes that the United States should be sending troops all over the world and intervening with troops all over the world. I favor U.S. military intervention against Iran, but from the air, not an invasion like this the U.S. stupidly did in Iraq. That was insane what the U.S. did in Iraq. And JTF was opposed from the very beginning to the war in Iraq that George W. Bush launched. The United States, what they should have done, first of all, they attacked the wrong country, we said. They should have attacked Iran and not Iraq. Iran was the country with the nuclear threat, not Iraq. And we said that from the beginning, and we were proven right on that issue, as we were on all of the other issues involving the Middle East. We've been proven right over the years again and again. And in addition to that, even if you attack Iran, you don't invade Iran, you don't occupy Iran, you don't send your soldiers in to occupy countries with tens of millions of hostile Muslims. It's tens of millions of America-hating Muslims who want to murder your soldiers. You don't do that. it's too expensive, and you lose soldiers there. It's insane, and it never works in the end. When you have a threat from Iran, for instance, where they're building nuclear bombs and weapons of mass destruction that could endanger millions of American lives and millions of Israeli Jewish lives, when you have a situation like that, what you do is you send in the U.S. Air Force, and they have the capability easily with their conventional bombing capability. Within 2 or 3 days, they can wipe out Iran's nuclear bomb-making program. They can destroy the reactor and destroy the factories and the warehouses and the underground laboratories and facilities easily. They have the capability to easily take care of that problem in 2 or 3 days without losing a single American soldier or a single American pilot, just as Israel did in Syria, destroying Syria's nuclear bomb-making program. And Israel did it against Saddam Hussein's nuclear bomb-making program in 1981. The United States can, if little Israel can do it, the United States, the great superpower, can easily do it. Easily. And Iran's anti-aircraft defense systems are primitive compared to U.S. technology. The United States could take care of that problem very quickly and would make this a much safer world if that happened. And Ted Cruz would have done that as president. He promised he would have. He said he was going to solve the problem, and the Iranians refused to immediately dismantle their nuclear program in a verifiable way. Immediately, he said that the U.S. would go in and do it for them, which means the U.S. would militarily destroy Iran's nuclear bomb-making program, because Ted Cruz understands the military might of the U.S. Air Force and understands that the U.S. can easily destroy Iran's program. Israel, little Israel, can destroy Iran's nuclear program. If little Israel can do it, the great mighty United States can easily do it. You remember we were told with Iraq, oh, they have the fourth biggest army in the world, and this may be a long, protracted battle and everything else. We said when they went into Iraq, you're going to easily defeat the Iraqi army and easily take Baghdad and easily occupy the country. And the United States did it in several days. They were able to occupy the whole country, destroy Iraq's army. It was a joke. The great numbers they had of hundreds of thousands of soldiers, and the United States easily took care of that problem. The problem comes afterwards. If you're going to occupy the country, then you got problems. Because then your soldiers are sitting ducks, and that's completely crazy to do that. When you have U.S. forces in Iraq or Syria or Afghanistan, the soldiers are sitting ducks. That's the problem. But from the air, the Iranian nuclear program, the United States can solve that very quickly with no casualties or almost no casualties. Sometimes you have mishaps in the air, and even from friendly fire, all types of things can happen, but it would be, if at all, there's a good chance there'd be no American casualties, and if there were any, it would be minimal, absolutely minimal. There's no doubt about that. No doubt about that, as long as it's only an air campaign. But Trump is not going to do that. In fact, it took Trump almost 2 years to even pull out of the disastrous Obama Iran nuclear deal. And Trump now calls up the Turkish dictator, and the Trump family has a lot of business with Turkey, just like they have a lot of business with Russia. Every country where he has business dealings, he's very friendly with the leaders of those countries. Amazing coincidence. And he decides on the spur of the moment that he's going to pull out all troops and allow Turkey to go in and slaughter all the Kurds. The Kurds have been American allies for many years. And he decides he's going to go in and he's going to allow the Turks to go in and slaughter them. And when I say slaughter, I mean slaughter. The Turks, in 1915, over 100 years ago, murdered 2 million Armenian men, women, and children, committed the first Holocaust of the 20th century. The first Holocaust of the 20th century was the Armenian Holocaust. 2 million Armenians were butchered. 2 million Armenian Christians were butchered by the Turkish Muslims. And the Turks, of course, for centuries, have murdered, raped, tortured, for four centuries, murdered, raped, tortured the Greeks, the Serbs. They slaughtered huge, hundreds of thousands of Greeks and Serbs and committed genocide. So what they plan to do to the Kurds, you can rest assured it's going to be very brutal. And the Kurds have been U.S. allies. Whether you think of them, whether you like them or don't like them is not the issue. I mean, most people in this audience wouldn't know nothing about them. But they have been aligned with the United States, and they counted on the United States, and they received promises and guarantees from the United States. And Trump decided to cut all of that immediately and allow Turkey to go in and massacre them. My question is this. If Trump is willing to do this in Syria to the Kurds, just on the spur of the moment, he just decides, you know what? I'm sick of this. I don't want American troops there. I'm going to pull out in a conversation with Turkey and tell the Turks, go ahead, do whatever you want, which is in effect what he did. Give them green light to go in and commit a massacre. If this is what he does on the spur of the moment to the Kurds, don't you think he can do this on the spur of the moment to Israel? He can do this. Trump is the type of person who on the spur of the moment can do this to anybody, anywhere, anytime. He knows nothing about the Middle East or politics. He's completely amoral and cruel and only interested in his own ego and his own twisted view of the world. He couldn't care less. And so there's a lesson here for Israel. Israel must become militarily and economically self-sufficient, must end all U.S. foreign aid, and must become self-sufficient and independent. Am levadad yishkon uvagoyim lo yitchashav. Lo, this is a nation that shall dwell alone, it says in the Torah, and not be reckoned among the nations. Lo, this is a people that shall dwell alone and not be reckoned among the nations. The Jews are supposed to be alone in their battle for survival. This is how God intended for things to be, because this is how God proves to the world that he's the God of the world. When little Israel, God's people, win these incredible, miraculous, breathtaking victories of biblical proportions, where they're outnumbered 100-1 and win wars in 6 days, when Israel does that, that's Kiddush Hashem, that's sanctifying God's name, that shows the whole world that God is the master of the universe, that God's prophecies are coming true from the Bible. That's what God wants. He doesn't want a situation where Israel comes begging and depending on the United States or other countries to protect her. That's the chilul Hashem, that's a desecration of God's name. That God does not want. Israel must become independent. Israel should learn the lesson from this. I hope Israel learns the lesson. Of course, Bibi Netanyahu will never learn this lesson. He's always crawling on his belly before every leader, before every enemy of Israel, because he's a ghetto-minded, self-hating cockroach. But the fact is, this should be a lesson for Israel. You can't trust the United States or any other country. You can only trust God. God's promises in the Torah, that you can trust. God is a loyal ally of Israel. He's the only loyal ally that Israel has. Israel can't even trust her own leaders. God is the only one that Israel and the Jews can trust. They can put their trust in God. And of course, that doesn't mean depending on miracles, not by any means. If you think the United States is going to protect Israel, and Israel will survive through protection of the United States, you're the one depending on miracles. You're wishing for a miracle because it would take a miracle for that to happen. It's not going to happen. The only normal, sane thing for Israel to do would be to become completely independent. And that doesn't mean you don't trade with other nations. You have trade and you have deals with other nations and do commerce with other nations. And Israel, Jewish with Jewish brains, can easily sell very large numbers of weaponry and technology, as long as it doesn't hurt Israeli national security, based on Israel in accordance with what is good for Israeli national security. But they can sell weapons and technology that wouldn't endanger Israel's national security to many other countries. Many countries like India and dozens of countries around the world would love to get Israeli weapons and Israeli brain power and Israeli technology. They'd love that. And Israel doesn't do that because of U.S. foreign aid, because the United States, as a condition of foreign aid, has the power to veto any of these arms sales to other countries. Once they give foreign aid to Israel, they control what Israel can do in terms of arms sales. Israel loses tens of billions of dollars. That's a new video that we just started advertising, in fact, tonight in Israel. We just started a video again. We've talked about this subject before with Israel, but we just started an ad campaign with a new video on Israeli independence and foreign aid and how Israel should end all U.S. foreign aid and become truly independent. And by the way, we have two other videos that we put out, also one on Iran, how Israel should go in and destroy Iran's nuclear bomb-making program, how Bibi and the cowardly leaders of Israel are not doing it, how they should go in. We, in JTF, we want either Israel to do it or America to do it. We want someone to do it. That nuclear program from Iran has to be stopped. If anyone has any sanity at all, it has to be stopped. Israel is capable of stopping it, and militarily, and so is the United States. The United States is even more capable because the United States has an air force that's much, much larger than the air force of tiny Israel. And because Jewish geniuses gave America a massive technological edge over every other country in the world. And yes, most of the technological advances also came from Jewish brains in the United States. Imagine if all that Jewish brain power was used to make Israel what Israel could be. Can you imagine? But anyway, so we did a video on Iran another video we're advertising on Iran that we just released tonight, and another ad that we just released tonight on with a video on U.S. foreign aid and why Israel would be much better off without so-called foreign aid, which only hurts Israel. And we did a video on how Netanyahu and the Likud voted in favor of the expulsion of Jews from Gush Katif, the 10,000 Jews from Gush Katif, because they always claimed that they were against it and they warned against it. We actually show them voting in favor of it. We show Netanyahu voting in favor of it, that lying animal. So we just released three new videos for advertising, and just in the past couple hours, already hundreds of people have seen them. Hundreds of Israeli Jews. The videos are only seen in Israel, and they're in Hebrew, of course. In any event, Trump really should be teaching us a lesson here, that you can't trust all these other leaders, and you have to have Israeli independence. Because what happened to the Kurds can happen to Israel easily. And, you know, Trump also just announced the new deal, quote-unquote, with China, new trade deal. I mean, he was doing certain things with China that we liked in JTF. We think that the United States should get firm with China and easily can defeat China in a trade war. The United States can defeat China in a trade war. If the United States just hangs tough for a year or two, China's economy will be on the verge of collapse. They are completely dependent upon American consumers and Western consumers in general, completely dependent on it. Their economy cannot survive without American markets. And so, if Trump had just stood firm, you know, this trade situation would have turned around, and it would have been much to the benefit of the United States. Not only with China, but other countries would have seen, and it would have been very good for the U.S. economy. But Trump already caved this week. He's already caving. He's already starting to back off and retreat, and he. You know, his so-called deal with China was a complete cave-in, complete joke. I know the Trumpsters will justify anything that he does. Anything that he does. Remember what he said. If he shoots somebody on Fifth Avenue, he wouldn't lose any support. That's all true. But anyway, that's the situation with Trump. He, you know, again, disappointing, erratic, irresponsible, someone who admires dictators and mass murderers, and just impossible to trust. Impossible to trust. That's the problem. And again, I'm not against, I wouldn't be against the U.S. pulling out of Syria and pulling out of all these other countries if the U.S. would at least just send in the Air Force and take care of the really big problem, which is the Iranian nuclear problem. If you take care of just a couple of problems here and there, then you could pull U.S. troops out and let, you know, let these countries all do whatever they want to do to each other. You could do that. You could do that, and the world would be much safer. But it's being done all in the wrong way, and it's just it's a complete mess, a complete mess. That's the first subject we wanted to discuss. The second subject, after all this knocking of Trump, we're going to be supporting his reelection. It looks like we're going to have to. Because the opposition, as we've said week after week here for quite a while now, the opposition from the Democrats is just so much worse. And I still think Elizabeth Warren will be the Democrat nominee. I could be wrong. Anything can happen. I'm not ani lo navi ve ani lo ben navi, which means I'm not a prophet and I'm not the son of a prophet. So I could be wrong. I'm just making a prediction based upon what I see as the trends, the political trends as I see them. And I made this prediction a while back when she was in third place in the polls. Now she's in first place. We'll see if it comes to that. I hope she doesn't get the nomination. I think she'll be a stronger candidate as the nominee than Joe Biden. I think Joe Biden would be great as the Democrat nominee. I would love to see Joe Biden get the nomination because I think he would be a disaster for the Democrats. He forgot even Barack Hussein Obama's name. I mean, he's just a complete... He's in Vermont and he says, I'm so happy to be in New Hampshire. I mean, he's just that. And those are minor things. This guy is a walking catastrophe. A walking catastrophe. He would be the perfect opponent for Trump. But the Democrats are not that stupid. They're not going to nominate him. I don't think so. I hope so. I hope I'm wrong. I hope they do nominate him. But I don't think they will. Why is Elizabeth Warren the front runner for the Democrat nomination, the person that I think will be Trump's opponent next year? I think she will be. Why is she so dangerous? Because the way she puts together her arguments is so appealing to the America of our day. The America of this day and age, it's very appealing. Now, 10 or 20 years ago, she would never have a chance, someone like her. She's a socialist. She's an extremist. The thing she's advocating would absolutely destroy America's economy and set off a risk of nuclear holocaust because she supports the Obama-Iran nuclear deal. She wants to give them hundreds of billions of dollars in aid to actually help them build nuclear bombs. She's a walking catastrophe. And God will punish America and destroy America if we have a president like her God punished America. God gave, instead of Ted Cruz, who would have been a blessing for America, God gave America Donald Trump. I think that might have been a punishment for the fact that America voted twice for Barack Hussein Obama. You know, there are consequences when you do terrible things. God punishes countries that do evil things. Voting for Obama was evil. And if she's president and pursues these evil policies of trying to get Israel to commit suicide, which she has promised to do, she is an enemy of Israel, she's an anti-Semite, and if she pursues these policies of trying to pressure Israel to create a so-called Palestinian state, which could easily happen, God forbid, it could happen, there's no question it could happen. If you have an American president pressuring Israel with the weak, cowardly leaders you have in Israel, there's no question that it's something that could happen. It would be absolute catastrophe for Israel. A real existential threat and danger of another Holocaust against the Jews of Israel. And God will punish America if that happens. God will not destroy Israel, but he will destroy countries that try to destroy Israel. But she is very appealing as a candidate in this day and age because she promises, for instance, to break up Google and Facebook. She says she's going to break up Google and Facebook, which is something that I wish conservative Republicans would take that stand. We should break up Google and Facebook. I think we should do worse than that to them. But at the very least, they should be broken up. They're evil, monstrously evil giant corporate atrocities that just monopolistically rule over the internet completely. Google completely dominates the search engines and completely dominates the video world with YouTube. You know, YouTube is owned by Google. Facebook completely dominates the world of internet talk, where people speak to each other and communicate and have social interaction on the internet. Facebook, complete, over 2 billion people are on Facebook, completely dominated by Facebook, and Facebook also owns Instagram and owns other applications. And I know that there's Twitter also, which is separate, but that's small compared to Facebook and Google. She promises to break them up. That I agree with. That would be great. And that's very appealing to the average American, who's frustrated when they go to Facebook and they're treated like a five-year-old kid. Even the average person, and they haven't gone through what other people who are censored and all the things that we went through with Facebook. May their names and memories be obliterated. May the name of the wicked rot. They haven't even experienced 1,000th of what we experience with those evil monsters at Facebook. And yet, they're also frustrated with Facebook because it's a horrible, horrible, arrogant, evil site run by super wealthy, arrogant, nasty, evil, vicious people. And she says she's going to break it up. She's at war with them. And that's a very popular thing for her to say. Again, a true conservative should take that position. That's a position conservatives should be leading that fight, not her. And she also says she's going to have a 2% wealth tax on billionaires. I don't remember the exact figure, but people over a certain amount of money, she wants to tax their assets by 2% every year. I agree with that too. The evil billionaires in this country are destroying the United States. They did not get their money honestly. And even if they did, they use whatever they have, they use for evil purposes and evil intent and do terrible damage to the world. And there should be a 2% tax, at least, on their wealth every year. There should be. There's no question about it. I remember Rush Limbaugh, the so-called conservative talk show host, always defending Bill Gates. Always defending Bill Gates and Microsoft. Bill Gates, the super leftist, who announced he was giving $1 billion worth of computers for free to black students, to blacks, black children and black students, only if you're black. Imagine if he announced he was only giving it to whites. You can be a racist and have vicious racist policies as long as it's pro-black and anti-white. But he announced he's giving $1 billion in computer to blacks. I mean, you can't get more politically correct, racist, and evil than that. That's Bill Gates, who Rush Limbaugh and all the conservatives defended because Bill Clinton was saying that he thought that maybe we should break up Microsoft. And they were investigating Microsoft during the Clinton administration, and Rush Limbaugh was his biggest defender. This is the type of distortion of conservatism that really is really brought America down. You want to know who the deep state really is? The establishment that's destroying America and destroying the Western world? The real destroyers are these very wealthy, multinational corporate tycoons, the billionaires, the Wall Street tycoons. They own the news media. They own the media. They're the owners of the media corporations. They decide what you can see and what you can't see. They control the educational system in this country. They control the university system through their donations. And through their political connections, they control both political parties. And through the media, they control both political parties. They are destroying the country. Someone who declares war against them and wants to tax them, that would be a good thing. And so she's very appealing when she says these things. She says certain things that are very appealing, that sound very appealing. She's against the big corporations and she's against these billionaires. And she's that very, when I hear that, I say, wow, I wish we had a conservative Republican who spoke like this against these beasts. And we don't, unfortunately. But she is able to do it, and she's getting a lot of support by doing it. She was considered to be finished politically after she tried to prove that she's an American Indian and all the other embarrassing stuff she did. She was considered to be dead politically. And she rose up again and became, and now has become the big front runner by taking clear, decisive stands on these issues. The problem is, she doesn't want to just tax the billionaires and the wealthy. She proposes Medicare for all. You know what that means? You know what type of cost, how many trillions of dollars we're talking about adding to the national debt and to our yearly annual deficits? Do you know what type of socialization of American society that would lead to if the whole healthcare system was completely controlled by the government, as she proposes doing? She's going to force you off your health care plan and force you to be under the control of the government. You will not be able to have private health insurance anymore. You won't be able to see the doctors you want. You will not, and I don't care what they promise. You will not be able to see the doctors you want. You will have waiting lines for essential surgery and for all types of essential medical needs. You'll have people dying in this country under a program like that. And it will be so expensive, like anything the government does, it'll be a disaster. A disaster. And that's what she proposes doing. And she refuses to answer if she's going to raise taxes on the middle class in order to pay for it. That she refuses to answer. She ducks that. She evades that. Even certain people on the left have begun to criticize her and say, hey, Bernie Sanders is honest. He admits he's going to increase taxes in order to have the same socialist medical program that you want. She has the same basic program Bernie Sanders is proposing. Bernie Sanders admits that he's going to drastically increase taxes on the middle class for this. She ducks that issue. But the 2% tax on the wealthy and all these other good things, all the goodies that, you know, that I would agree with, that I think are good, those things that she's proposing doing, if you think of them in conjunction with the taxes on the middle class, the brutal taxation on the middle class and the destruction of the healthcare system in the United States and trillions of dollars in new spending that she's proposing, when you put all of that together, that's a time bomb that will destroy America's economy and destroy American society. Very, very dangerous. But she doesn't present it that way, and the media will never present it that way. They'll make her look like the logical professor who's coming with the big solutions, and she's courageous, and look how she's standing up to Donald Trump, the bully. That's how they're going to present it. And the polls, the latest Fox News poll, shows her beating Trump by 10%. Remember, Hillary Clinton beat Donald Trump in the popular vote by 2% in 2016. It was 48% for Hillary Clinton, 46% for Donald Trump. 48% to 46% with the remainder of the vote going to minor party candidates. So he lost popular vote by 2 points in 2016. According to Fox News poll, Fox News, not a leftist poll, the Fox News poll, Elizabeth Warren and Joe Biden, both of them beat Donald Trump by 10%, five times the margin that Hillary won the popular vote by. If that happens, it would be a landslide, a Democrat landslide. Trump would lose overwhelmingly. He would lose every single major state that he won in 2016. Lose every state. Probably lose Texas as well if you have a 10-point margin like that. So she has a good chance. And Trump has an uphill battle. We may have a one-term Trump presidency, and we may have Elizabeth Warren, the Marxist, in the White House in a little bit over a year. Just a little bit over a year from now is the election. God forbid So we've got some pretty big challenges on our hands. And by the way, this just increases the need for Israel to be independent. We saw under Obama the great threat to Israel. When we have Democrat presidents, the threat is even greater. We saw this great threat to Israel. Israel may face this tremendous threat from Elizabeth Warren in a little bit over a year. Another reason, Trump is completely unreliable and can stab Israel in the back at any time, like he did with the Kurds. And we may not have Trump anymore. We may have Elizabeth Warren now, who is completely anti-Israel, completely anti-Semitic, and will brutally pressure Israel nonstop, God forbid, to create a so-called Palestinian state. Of course, there is no Palestine, there are no Palestinians. That's an Arab myth and an Arab lie. But we could have an American president using all the power of the presidency to rally the whole world, because the whole world wants Israel to commit suicide, to rally the whole world against little Israel and demand that Israel create a so-called Palestine state in her biblical heartland. We could be in that situation in a little bit over a year. This is why Israel cannot afford to continue to be vulnerable by getting this so-called foreign aid. By the way, U.S. foreign aid to Israel is over $3 billion a year. That's less than 2%, less than 2% of Israel's national budget. Bibi Netanyahu, when he was Treasury Minister under the Sharon regime, Bibi Netanyahu cut 4, 5, 6% of Israel's budget. So if he could cut 4, 5, 6% of Israel's budget, Israel can certainly live without the 2% of her budget that she gets from so-called U.S. foreign aid. Easily. And Israel would be much freer and much less vulnerable, and psychologically it would give a boost to those who say to the Jews of Israel, don't give in to foreign pressure. Those are the challenges we're facing. That's why JTF has to bring its message to the Jews of Israel, telling the truth, because no one else is. Has to be done. They murdered our beloved Rabbi Meir Kahana, Zecher Tzaddik V'Kadosh Livracha, Hashem Yikom Damo, and since his murder, no one really tells the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to the Jews of Israel, except for JTF. If you want to make sure that that truth is brought to the Jews of Israel, you're in the right place. Let's work together. We're going to work together to bring the truth to the Jews of Israel so that we will wake them up, God willing, before it's too late. Wake up, do the best we can to wake up as many Jews as possible before it's too late, and to build resistance to any attempt by Israel's leaders to make suicidal concessions. We've got to build that resistance. We're going to do the best we can to do that. We're doing that. Every moment that I'm speaking to you, our ads are running, and Israeli Jews are seeing our ads. So we're going to be doing that, God willing. We're going to continue to do that in Israel. And in the United States, we're going to launch a campaign to try to prevent the Democrats, the anti-Semitic Democrats, from winning the presidency next year, which would be a catastrophe for Israel and the Jewish people. If you agree with those goals and you understand how essential those goals are, how essential they are, then again, you're in the right place. Let's work together. If we work together as a team, we can still make this a better world, and we can change Jewish history. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.